This podcast is brought to you by Fantasy Draft. Do you think you're good at fantasy sports? Ever wanted to make real money each day by doing what you love in your spare time? Fantasy Draft is now the hottest thing in daily fantasy sports, the only daily fantasy sports website that offers 6 degrees of payment for your referrals. Win money today. Daily fantasy sports for real cash, no season-long commitment, 6 degrees of pay commissions, fantasydraft.com. What are you waiting for? A link will be available in the description of this podcast.
Welcome to the We Do Fantasy Podcast, brought to you by WeDoFantasy.com, with your hosts, Jason Zitzman, Brian Schilhab, and Wade Strand. Your source for everything fantasy, right here, right now, only on WeDoFantasy.com.
I will win the crown. I will give them something they've never seen before.
Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to the We Do Fantasy Podcast, brought to you by We Do Fantasy Sports and WeDoFantasy.com. It's Wednesday, December 10th, one day before Thursday night football and the start of week 15 of your fantasy season. Do not forget to follow We Do Fantasy Sports on Twitter at We Do Fantasy. As the most interactive fantasy experts in the industry, We Do Fantasy Sports has a very strict no tweet left behind policy. Which means you tweet us your fantasy questions and we get back to you quickly with expert fantasy advice. That's right, every single question you guys ask, and that is a bunch, we get back to you. That's our guarantee. I am Jason Zitzman, your host. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Zitzman. It's a brand new account, so please help me out with a follow. I have my co-host Wade Stramp on the air via the stream. As always, you can find him on Twitter at Wade Stramp. Glad I can have you here, Wade, as always. But I'm not going to lie. I am extremely frustrated. Disheartened about the situation going on with my Houston Texans. Jadeveon Clowney, microfracture surgery on that right knee, out 9+ months. And here's the thing. This guy, it's not a torn ACL. This isn't a thing. I mean, everybody always thinks of, you know, that ACL, blowing up that knee as being the worst possible thing that can happen. That's not the case anymore. ACL, people come back from that all the time. You look at Jamal Charles, you look at Adrian Peterson, it happens. You look at Tom Brady. this microfractured surgery, I mean, this is an injury that people don't get until normally they're like 63 years old, Wade. This is really concerning. People don't normally come back as the same player they were before. I have a lot of concerns.
Yeah, obviously it's tough. Fortunately for the Texans, though, they're on the outside looking in at the playoff picture, most likely not going to be a playoff team. So if it were to happen, this would probably be an ideal time. But it's concerning when he's injured at the beginning of the season and then he has another injury. It makes you wonder if, you know, karma is coming into play here for what he pulled his junior year at South Carolina. You never know there. But he's still young and, you know, in terms of questioning the Houston Texans for their draft pick, I think in hindsight, I mean, who else would you have rather gone with? If you would have known Clowney would miss the majority of his rookie season, would you still take Clowney? Would you look in a different direction? That's me asking you, as a Texans fan. I mean, what would you rather have?
You compare the Houston Texans draft right now versus a team like the Oakland Raiders. You got Khalil Mack with your first-round pick, fourth or fifth overall selection. that guy's looking like he could be a perennial all-star or all-pro football player each year. This guy's looked good. The sack numbers aren't there, but this guy's playing good football. He's a great pass rusher, knows how to set that edge and really defend the run. And then you look at their second-round pick with Derek Carr, who's looking like he could be, you know, a competent quarterback in this league. And that set
both guys that
exactly,
the Texans could have
exactly.
gotten.
Exactly. We had the first pick of the first round, obviously, the first overall pick. And then we had the first pick of the second round, who we grabbed Xavier Suofilo out of UCLA, a guard. You know, we're just looking, you know, it's tough. It's tough, you know, the entire draft. Then in the third round, they pick C.J. Fedorowicz, the tight end out of Iowa.
I'm going to be honest, Jason. I had never heard of these two guys until
Houston Texans talk. But I'm just extremely frustrated, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a change at general manager Rick Smith. I wouldn't be surprised if he's gone. I would completely support that decision. This guy's been here too long and doesn't deserve. You know, he is one of the top three longest serving general managers in the NFL right now. And you know, you're looking at the Houston Texans roster, and yeah, you got some key pieces like Arian Foster and J.J. Watt, but this guy's just not getting the job done. I want him out of here, Wade. I want to touch on a few things. Obviously, we got a lot to get to. Thursday night football coming up tomorrow. We will be sure to preview that. My position rankings, as always, came out yesterday. A lot of things were I've gotten a few question marks on Twitter in regards to my position rankings.
Yeah, let me interject here and address some of these question marks, because I have some question marks of my own, Jason. And obviously the one that stands out the most, Mark Sanchez above Tony Romo. Jason, I understand Sanchez had a solid game against Dallas. Don't forget that was LeSean McCoy doing most of the work. Sanchez only had 21 points against Dallas that game. I know it seemed like he had a lot more. I was surprised to see that number as well. Obviously, Tony Romo struggled. I think a big reason for his struggles that game was the short week. Didn't get his usual rest time. Didn't get his usual day off to rest his back. I think it was kind of fluky. Philly's one of those teams you got to have a full week to prepare for. In this case, for the Cowboys, they've had 10 days to prepare for him. I don't think there's any way it's the same game as it
was
on Thanksgiving.
I'll disagree with you for one reason. And, you know, excuse me. Normally, going into Thursday night football, it seems that running backs really have the advantage. You know, quarterbacks have less time to prepare. You know, running backs, they just have to kind of see a hole and hit it. You know, it's not necessary for as much preparation as a quarterback, at least talking about game film and looking at a defense. And the Cowboys still couldn't get that run game going. I mean, DeMarco Murray ended up having a fair fantasy day. He had, you know, 78 yards and a touchdown or whatever. But the Cowboys, that offensive line did not look as stable as it had all year long. And I think that
Well, what about last week? What about this past week? That offensive line against Chicago.
Listen to the last thing you just said, Chicago. The Chicago Bears, they've been a joke all season long against the run, against the pass. I don't think that's anything overly impressive.
I think if you look at the stats, I think Chicago's defense and Philly's defense are very comparable.
You know, at the same time, Wade, Philly's offense is putting that defense on the field all the time. That obviously, they have the fastest tempo in the league in regards to how quickly they're running their next play. They score quick or it's a three and out. These guys are really quick. That defense is put on the field a lot. I think that's that defense is, you know, better than what the numbers reveal because they're on the field so much. But
well, I understood. I think those numbers are skewed, but it still doesn't change I don't think there's any way that Mark Sanchez is a better play than Romo this week. Mark Sanchez is coming off a game. He didn't even throw for 100 yards. I understand that's against Seattle, but the quarterback we're comparing him to and the quarterback you have him ranked above threw for 250 yards and two touchdowns. No picks against
again,
that
same
defense.
Again, we're talking about a Chicago Bears defense, and you're comparing that from a Seattle defense versus a Cowboys defense that he's already looked fabulous against. And you got to remember, what makes you think that LeSean McCoy is not going to be able to run the same way that he ran against Dallas the first time? That offensive line really took care.
You just said running backs are at an advantage coming off a short week.
For sure, absolutely. But at the same time, that offensive line of Philadelphia really starting to get healthy. they took advantage of Dallas's defensive line and those linebackers and all the injuries that they have there. You know, I can see LeSean McCoy having a good day. I would like to see the speed of that defensive line of Philadelphia. You know, it's not guys that are trying to bulldoze and go through these giants that the Cowboys have on that offensive line. It's speed rushers and guys that can get around these juggernauts that the Cowboys have, and I think that's a little different, and which provides an issue for that Cowboys offensive line. And if you cannot get DeMarco Murray going, I don't see Tony Romo having a good day. We saw it on Thanksgiving.
That's a big if. That's a big if that the Cowboys might not be able to get DeMarco Murray going. I think if you were to bet on it, I think you would bet that DeMarco Murray would get going versus not get going.
I really think, you know, we're talking about that was at home now. That was at home on Thanksgiving when the Cowboys have a history of playing well.
The Cowboys are undefeated on the road.
They have a history of playing well on Thanksgiving. You know, it's a situation where running backs normally have the advantage, and they didn't have the advantage in that game. I think the speed of that front seven in Philadelphia really will pose to be difficult for DeMarco Murray and that offensive line to get going. And if so, Tony Romo struggles. I think, I'd take the Philadelphia defense over the Dallas defense.
I think your Cowboys bias came into play here. And I think if you're making out a lineup on FanDuel, DraftKings, or FantasyDraft.com, and it's between Tony Romo and Mark Sanchez, I truly believe you would rather have Tony Romo on your team. And I know for me as well, I'm going to go with the proven guy, and I'm going to go with the guy that didn't just throw for 96 yards the previous week.
You know,
and I'll leave.
I don't have Mark Sanchez at number 7 and Tony Romo at 19. It's a one spot difference. I have Sanchez at 9, Romo at 10. We'll see. We will see. It'll definitely be interesting. this game is obviously, I think, the matchup of the week. Huge playoff implications on the line. Philadelphia obviously put a spanking on Dallas in the first game on Thanksgiving. Dallas really needs this win. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Absolutely. I've got a couple other questions. You've got T.Y. Hilton at number 1 on your receiver rankings. A lot of good matchups out there for receivers. Just as enticing as Hilton's matchup against Houston. You've got Antonio Brown, the number 1 fantasy wide receiver in the NFL, going up against an Atlanta defense that's just been getting torched all season long. That's another question. I have a hard time seeing T.Y. Hilton being, you know, a better play this week. Yeah, so maybe if you could give me a little insight there.
It's a good question, but at the same time.
And I understand we're splitting hairs at, you know, I'm comparing the number one guy, right, to the number 3
absolutely
guy. I understand.
And, you
that
know, I've gotten a lot of questions in regards to my wide receiver position rankings this week, but I got to tell you, I feel pretty good about him. I got T.Y. Hilton at the number 1 spot. He's going up against my Houston Texans. Unfortunately, the Houston Texans are ranked 31st against opposing fantasy wide receivers. I think that is I think that's a statistic that really stands out. And not only are they ranked 31st against opposing fantasy wide receivers, but if you remember correctly, T.Y. Hilton, 8 or 9 catches, 223 yards, and a touchdown in the first matchup against the Houston Texans. And that was in Houston, when Houston was struggling more against the run at that point in time. And now they're really struggling against the pass. The secondary seems to be falling apart a little bit. You know, a guy like DJ Swearinger who can make some plays, really not much of a cover safety. T.Y. Hilton's the type of guy that really burns you over the top with those play actions that we know Andrew Luck likes to run. I'm really feeling confident in this pick with T.Y. Hilton at number 1.
Yeah, again, like I said, you're splitting hairs at the number 1, number 3 spot. T.Y. Hilton, he's the fifth best fantasy wide receiver in terms of points this season. But both are obviously going to be great plays. I want to go back to this Dallas-Philly game. I'm just seeing a lot of Dallas hate on these position rankings. It's oozing Houston Texans, bitter Houston Texans fan, all over it. Jason Witten, number 16. This is a Hall of Fame tight end. Him and Romo, they have the history together. We've got Jordan Cameron ranked 7 spots above Witten. Jordan Cameron with a rookie quarterback in his first start. I understand it's Johnny Manziel. We're both big Manziel guys. But I feel like Witten, he's got to be a more solid play this week.
You know, I don't see the same connection between Tony Romo and Jason Witten that we've seen in years past. I'm not taking anything away from the guy. Obviously, he's been a fantastic player. He's going to go down as one of the greatest Cowboys of all time. Good guy in the community. I like Jason Witten. I don't like him this week, and I don't like him over the past month. We're looking at a guy, he only has, 4 touchdowns on the year. He hasn't reached over 50 yards receiving since week 9. Since then, we've seen 33 yards, 30 yards, 8 yards, 26 yards. It's not a situation that I feel that comfortable. I think, they're going to try to really establish that run with DeMarco Murray. And if not, you go outside and you got Dez Bryant and Cole Beasley, who's been getting targeted as of late. I just don't see that same rapport that we've seen in years past with Tony Romo and Jason Witten. And Jordan Cameron, talking about this guy, he came back and had a fairly good game. And you got to remember, that's with Brian Hoyer, who's been an absolute mess as of late. He came right out and in his first game back in over 5 weeks was targeted plenty. He had 41 yards receiving. He had, 4 catches. I think he's a solid play. I think Johnny Manziel, normally rookie quarterbacks, relying on the tight end a lot more. I could see him getting a little play.
Yeah, it's just, he's a ticking time bomb. How much longer is he going to be healthy on the field? He's just, maybe it's my bias kicking in, but I just feel like Jason Witten's so much more reliable. Staying on the Browns, you've got the man, the people, everyone has been waiting to see, Johnny Football at number 13. Is this just like your quarterback ranks for like who you're most excited to see play, or is this like the people that you think are going to perform the best? This guy's got 14 NFL snaps, and you got him ahead of Phillip Rivers and Joe Flacco, Super Bowl champions down the list, Eli Manning. It's just,
yeah.
I understand we're excited. He had a good first drive. If I'm making these rankings, there's no way Manziel's in my top 20.
I feel good about Manziel. He's
why? No, what have you seen?
I'm not sure this guy's gonna go out and win this game. Okay, but I'll tell you what, he brings in that run factor. Okay, this guy is gonna pick up 40, 50 yards on the ground. He's shown the ability within the red zone. You put this guy with just straight up man coverage. As soon as those defensive backs turn around, this guy's gonna be on the move. He has the possibility for a rushing touchdown, and he has that unpredictability factor where these defenses don't know what Kyle Shanahan is going to do with Johnny Manziel in this offense. We've seen rookie quarterbacks come out and in their first game find a lot of success. We saw it with Bridgewater. We even saw it with Bortles the first time he was inserted in Jacksonville. I think in this first game for Johnny Manziel, I think he's going to be able to find some success. I think it helps out this run game.
Let me interrupt for a second. You said we don't know what Kyle Shanahan's going to do with the quarterback. You're exactly right. We have no idea what he's going to do with him. I think there's just so many more reliable quarterbacks down the list. And Jason, I want you to answer this question, and I want you to answer it honest. I'm not going to judge you if you go back on your position rankings. Let's get it out on the table now. You have Johnny Manziel ranked above Phillip Rivers. If you're in the playoffs and you have Johnny Manziel on your team and you have Phillip Rivers on your team, who are you starting? You're in the fantasy football playoffs. There is money to be made.
I'm telling you, Wade.
Who do you go with?
I have him, you know, again, we're splitting hairs. I got him one spot ahead. I like the upside factor.
But that means you like him better. And that means if he's on your team and Phillip Rivers is on your team, you're going with Manziel.
I like his upside. I like, you know, you got to remember, this is a situation where, you know, me and you talked about it the other day. You see Brian Hoyer, he rolls out of the pocket, and these guys just sit back and go cover these wide receivers trying to get on the move. Johnny Manziel rolls out, and you got linebackers collapsing, which opens up things downfield. We saw it his entire career with Texas A&M. I think that's exactly what happens. I think it's a big day for guys like Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron.
Hey, you know who else? You know who else has linebackers collapsing when they roll out? Colin Kaepernick, Michael Vick, Geno Smith. It doesn't all of a sudden make the quarterback position easy, okay? This guy, he has little to no NFL experience.
And
I'm at a loss for words right now, Jason.
Okay, where he has the unknown factor to his advantage, Wade. We saw Kyle Shanahan have a lot of success with RG3 in his rookie season. Not exactly the same type of player, but it could be a similar offense. And we saw a lot of production out of there in 2012 in RG3's rookie year. I think Kyle Shanahan gets creative, has a little fun running this offense with Johnny Manziel at the helm. I think he's a spark to this offense. I think these guys are wanting to play for this guy. And I am high on Johnny Manziel this week. We will see how it plays out. I'm excited. And I know you are as well to see how this plays out.
Again, these rankings aren't my most excited to watch rankings. If that were the case, Andrew Luck would be last on my list because I'm not watching the Houston Texans play. Okay? I respect you sticking to your pick. I respect you staying true blue. But I truly believe my heart of hearts that if it came down to Johnny Manziel and Phillip Rivers.
If you want to bet a couple Diet Cokes, a few Diet Cokes, let's bet like 10 Diet Cokes. and we're betting Diet Cokes because we are in the state of Texas. So if you want to put some Diet Cokes on the line on this one, who outperforms who in the terms of standard fantasy scoring, Johnny Manziel, Phillip Rivers, I'm putting 10 Diet Cokes on Johnny Manziel, Wade.
If I won the bet, I would consider winning 10 Diet Cokes as much of a loss, if not more, than me giving you 10 Diet Cokes. What the hell am I going to do with 10 Diet Cokes? I mean, maybe try to sell them for like 50 cents a pop to my friends, make $5. That's the worst bet I've ever heard of. I'm not interested. You know as well as I do that Manziel's not as good of a player this week, and I'll leave it at that.
I want to touch on a few of the injuries. Actually, just a couple at this point. And the first one is obviously Cam Newton. It's a tough situation. Obviously, he gets in a car accident on his way up to the Carolina Panthers practice facility on his day off, trying to go in and get some extra work. Obviously, this guy's coming off of a fantastic week, the most productive fantasy quarterback in the league in week 14. And, you know, I know everyone involved with We Do Fantasy Sports and WeDoFantasy.com. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Cam and his family. This guy has two small fractures in his lower back. I mean, this was not a minor accident, Wade. His truck rolled three or four times, and it was a scary situation.
Yeah, obviously it's extremely unfortunate. I'm a huge Cam Newton fan. We talked about a couple podcasts. I mean, I was getting giddy just talking about his smile.
We all know about your man crush on Cam Newton.
I'm not going to deny my man crush on Cam Newton for a second. But yeah, when I heard this, I woke up and I had a missed call from a good friend of mine. He said, "Yeah, did you hear about Cam Newton? He got in a really bad car accident." And that's all I knew. So that was very scary for me. So I'm just glad to hear that he's okay. That's football aside. It's disappointing that, you know, we're not going to get a chance to see him try to repeat his performance last week against Tampa Bay this week. But I think the important thing is that he's okay. He's healthy.
It just kind of puts things into perspective, you know, like how really unimportant football is, and when it really comes down to life. And you just got to be happy that, you know, he's okay, and, you know, he's going to be able to come back from this thing, you know. And it's I don't know how long this guy's going to be out. Obviously it wasn't a football injury. Anytime your car rolls, you're going to have bruises, you're going to be scratched up. I mean, your body can just be extra achy in a situation like that. So it's not just having these fractures, but it's actually the same injury that Tony Romo found himself having, as well as Bryce Petty, the college quarterback for the University of Baylor. So both these quarterbacks have played through that injury. So let's see how it goes. Maybe if you're relying on Cam Newton in week 16, it's possible that you see him.
Well, let me put that into perspective for Cam Newton owners. Guys, not very many quarterbacks out there are as tough as Tony Romo. And let me add, Romo's got a broken rib on top of it. I mean, even Superman is having trouble, is going to have trouble with these injuries. Probably more trouble than Romo has. No, I'm just kidding. It's a tough injury, but it can certainly be played through. And if it is the exact situation as Tony Romo, he's not going to be putting himself in jeopardy to further injure it. Obviously, there's probably some mental things you got to work through as well after a car crash like that. I don't think anyone just jumps out of a car crash like that and they're just,
you know, and
good
another
to go.
Thing, I mean, we've seen Cam Newton play through injuries. He comes off of, you know,
been doing it all
ankle
year.
Surgery in the off season, and then he goes right out in the preseason, gets a couple of broken ribs or whatever. Guys playing through that. I mean, this guy is one of the toughest guys in the league. He's tough as nails. Just thoughts and prayers obviously go out to him. I'm glad he's okay. I know you all are as well. Yeah.
It's just sad. It's like you see these quarterbacks, especially like Cam Newton, they just seem so untouchable. You know, he's got the nickname Superman. It's like watching a mountain lion or, you know, a lion go down in the wild, and it's just something so majestic, and it's just painful to watch them, hurt. I don't know. I'm just going to stop crushing on Cam.
The man crush is really standing out right now. It's clear as day.
We're going to have to, like, not bring Cam Newton up in the podcast anymore because Wade gets too giddy every time.
Another guy I want to discuss a little bit is Rashad Jennings. How frustrated are Rashad Jennings fantasy owners right now? This guy, all the reports going into Sunday's game against Tennessee were saying that Rashad Jennings is going to be back. He's going to be back. He's going to be active. And he was active, but he wasn't very active on the field, Wade. Andre Williams, a guy that I really liked going into this week, just took over the show. And this guy, I mean, he had his opportunity earlier in the season whenever Jennings went down and didn't do much with that opportunity. Rashad Jennings just probably killed a bunch of fantasy owners in the playoffs and took this guy out. It's really frustrating.
I'm wondering how many owners have been victimized by Rashad Jennings this past week and Jonas Gray a few weeks ago when he got zero carries, didn't get on the field once. I wonder how many people have been victimized by both of these running backs this season.
5 yards rushing. And you know people were starting him all over the place. Just ridiculous.
Better than 4 yards rushing.
That it is, but that that's not going to get the job done. I want to talk about a guy that's just been incredibly disappointing over the last 2 weeks, Wade. Jimmy Graham, 25 yards over the last 2 weeks combined. No touchdowns. I'm talking about 5.5 points in the last 2 weeks in PPR.
It's terrible. I mean, how is somebody this athletic, I mean, this just physically imposing, just disappearing? It's not like New Orleans just has a plethora of weapons to go to. You've got an old Marcus Colston and a Kenny Stills who's on the rise, but I mean, right. He's not an established receiver in this league by any means. You would think Jimmy Graham would be the only option. The fact that he just disappears in these games, it makes me wonder, I mean, is he going through something mentally? Is he just checked out? I don't see any situation where Jimmy Graham's giving it his all and he just can't get open.
This is what's interesting, Wade. The past two games that he struggled, they've been totally different situations. 2 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, zero catches, 0 yards, obviously, on zero targets. He went the entire game without being targeted from Drew Brees. And then this game, he struggles as well. Only 25 yards receiving on 3 catches. But he was getting targeted. 11 targets, Wade, to Jimmy Graham. Only catching 3 balls for 25 yards. This is just crazy. You don't see a guy with this talent. He's just so physical. And just a total lack of production. One game with no targets. The next game with 11 targets and still no production. It's crazy. I want to touch real quickly before we move on to the Week 15 schedule and talk just about one thing from each of the exciting matchups that we've picked on. I want to discuss the We Do Fantasy blog, available at WeDoFantasy.com. Be sure to check it out. Our latest article was posted yesterday by WeDoFantasy.com blogger and columnist Nick Marty, discussing the tight end situation and its current state in the fantasy football world. Make sure you go check that out. It's a good read, as always. He works hard to provide you guys with good content. Make sure you go check that out. Wade, a few games that stand out to you, and I just want to kind of go down the list, and we're just going to go over it quickly, guys. We'll talk about it a little more in depth tomorrow, but give me one thing that really stands out to you about these matchups. What matchups that stand out to you, Wade?
Obviously, the number one is Dallas, Philadelphia. Dallas seeking redemption against the Eagles, the division lead on the line. I'm going to be nervous as heck the entire Sunday leading up to the game. Probably going to be in the fetal position. I'm nervous, but I think even not as if you aren't a Cowboys fan, I think it's the game that has the biggest implications on the line as well. I'm certainly excited for it. I'm sure football fans everywhere are as well.
I'm just excited to see if Dallas can bounce back.
Or you're excited to see if Dallas can't bounce back.
If they can bounce back. But my number one thing about this game is the Cowboys playing on primetime television again. They seem to struggle in these situations. Obviously, season on the line. This is a big game. I just can't wait for this one, Wade. Your phone will definitely be ringing throughout this one.
It's going to be the same thing it always is. I don't ever talk to you during the Cowboys
game. I'm always calling him. And normally it's as soon as something goes wrong for Dallas. And it's just like one ring and I'm getting that voicemail. I know he's pressing that red button. a game I want to touch on briefly, Miami-New England. My one thing from this one is I think New England is just going to just blow the roof off of this one against Miami. They sustained the loss earlier in the year. Things were really, the New England stock was really crashing at that point of the season. I think Bill Belichick sends a message that they are obviously still the big dog in the AFC East. I think New England crushes them, Wade.
Yeah, I heard something today. Tom Brady hasn't lost to any team in the NFL 3 times in a row. New England's dropped their last two to Miami in jeopardy of breaking that streak, but I don't think it happens either. Tom Brady doesn't lose in Foxborough.
Another one I want to touch on, my boy, Cincinnati Bengals visiting the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Manziel getting the start, Wade. I am stoked. I can't wait. You know, I can't tell. You know, it's just been a crazy situation. I think Johnny should have been starting weeks ago, but couldn't be more excited to see this guy play.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Did you hear what Marvin Lewis said about Manziel? Called him a midget. I don't know if Manziel's the guy that I want to piss off. I don't know if Manziel's the guy that I want to give extra motivation to. I mean, if it's a comment like that might keep him from going to the nightclub Saturday night. And I don't know if that's something I want to prevent Johnny Manziel from doing.
If Johnny's not going to the nightclub, you might have some problems on Sunday. So I love that. I love it. Another game I want to touch on briefly, Denver-San Diego. I think San Diego will give some problems to Denver. Are you worried about Peyton Manning? Held under 200 yards passing over the last 2 weeks.
No, I'm not, because that's just been that's because of what they've chosen to do in the red zone. In the past, you know, Manning has targeted his receivers like crazy in the red zone, and CJ Anderson is being the beneficiary of Denver's red zone appearances. I like Manning a lot this week. He's had terrible production in his last two games. Manning doesn't have three bad games in a row. I mean, I won't be blown away if he throws five touchdowns. I think he might make a statement this week, just say, hey, guys, I'm still around and I'm still Peyton Manning. Let me just, you know, remind
quickly,
you guys
Arizona
of that real quick.
At St. Louis tomorrow night, Thursday night football, 7:25 p.m. Central Standard Time on the NFL Network. Make sure you check it out. It's at the Edward Jones Dome in St. Louis. Wade, who you got?
I've got Arizona in just a really boring game. I'm not looking forward to the game at all. It seems like every Thursday night game's been garbage. I'm sick of it. Obviously, you know, Arizona's a good football team, but neither one of them have really much to offer on the offensive end. That's what we all like to see is offense. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's just a bunch of field
goals. St. Louis
playing
really well right now. That defense is playing great. Just got done shutting out the Washington Redskins, but I still got the Arizona Cardinals pulling off the win. they need it. They gotta stay up a game on the Seattle Seahawks. Want to go over a couple questions right quick before we hit on one of your FanDuel lineups and get out of here, Wade. This one comes in from Joseph. And he says, at We Do Fantasy, Gordon versus Cincinnati or Macklin versus Dallas this week?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'm not starting any receiver against this Dallas defense. I don't see why anyone would. No, just kidding. Macklin's going to be matched up against Orlando Scandrick. Scandrick's very, very physical. Hard-nosed corner. He goes up against Dez Bryant every week in practice, and supposedly he just gives Dez Bryant fits. Dez Bryant, I've heard a number of stories of Dez Bryant getting really frustrated with Scandrick. We saw the passion last week against Chicago. We talked about it, Jason, after the game, going crazy on the sideline once. I mean, that's a guy I want on my team. And I don't know, and that's a guy I don't want my fantasy receiver to be matched up against. I think Gordon's more talented.
I'm
going to
be honest with you. I'm not concerned about Jeremy Macklin's matchup per se. I think it's that Mark Sanchez seems to be targeting Matthews more. I mean, this guy, he's played well, and we've seen it over and over that these guys that played on the second group together seem to be targeted more. Mark Sanchez obviously was targeting this rookie early. They played on the second team together. Jordan Matthews, the rookie out of Vanderbilt, this guy's playing well. He's really come out of his shell as soon as Mark Sanchez became the quarterback.
Yeah, you're exactly right. He came out of his shell when Mark Sanchez became the quarterback, and he's literally been on just a steady decline. 138 receiving yards in his first game, 107 in his second, 77 in his third, 51 in his fourth, 23 in his fifth.
Curious, how did Jordan Matthews do against the Dallas Cowboys?
He had 51 receiving yards and a touchdown, four receptions. I mean, he didn't go off. It was just he caught a touchdown, so that it salvaged his fantasy day. I think he's on the steady decline right now. And, I mean, if it was between Macklin and Matthews, Macklin, no question about it. Jason, I know you don't want to start another Jeremy Macklin argument with me.
Lucky argument. You know, it's obviously going to be a tough matchup for Gordon. You know, that Cincinnati Bengals defense has been extremely tough on fantasy wide receivers. They're either first or second. I got to be second behind the Seahawks against opposing fantasy wide receivers. But I think Johnny Manziel is able to get outside the pocket and create a few big plays against Cincinnati. You know, I think a lot of people are expecting, you know, to come out of there and the first few plays just be run, 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 play action, dump off to the tight end, play action, dump off to the running back. I would not be surprised if the first play of the game, it's a play action pass. They go deep to Gordon and really try to get these two guys involved and going together. Johnny, Johnny Manziel is fearless. This guy doesn't care. He doesn't care how big of a moment you think this guy's in. He doesn't care. It's like he has no idea. He just goes out there and he just has that swagger. He has that moxie. I wouldn't be surprised if Kyle Shanahan really kind of opens this thing up and lets Johnny Manziel try to throw the ball downfield. So I like going with Gordon. He's going to get targeted a boatload. And unlike Wade, I like Jordan Matthews more than I do Jeremy Macklin this week. Wade, this next one comes in from Wesley Corrado. And I got to laugh at this question. As high as I am, we're both looking at this question. It just makes us chuckle. This one is on Twitter at Wesley Corrado. Appreciate you asking questions. Obviously, we're teasing you, my man. Feel free to ask us a question anytime you want. But he says, at We Do Fantasy, Johnny Football or Peyton Manning? Who do I start this weekend? Wesley, calm down, my man. Calm down. Don't get too cute right here. You might be in the fantasy playoffs in this situation, or maybe you're trying to create a FanDuel lineup. Trust.
I would guess if he's asking questions like this, he's in the consolation bracket, trying to make it to the championship
Don't do our boy Wesley like that. All right, Wesley seems like he's a good guy.
Wesley, it's close, but I'd give Peyton Manning a slide at this week.
You know, he's struggled over the past couple weeks, but you got to go with Peyton. You know, he's found some success.
We're going to get a hate-filled tweet from Wes if Johnny Manziel does better. He's going to blast us.
Johnny Manziel is going to go out and have three TDs on the ground, rack up 18 points right there. But, go Peyton. Don't overthink this thing. You know, I think Johnny Manziel is certainly worth the pickup as a backup. But definitely go Peyton. And I think this is a good question right here. This one comes from a good friend of mine, Tex Zinn. You can find him on Twitter, at TexZinn70. He asks, We Do Fantasy, Joik Bell, Dan Heron, Trey Mason, Alfred Morris, LeGarrette Blount. Which two running backs this week? Wade, who do you like in this scenario?
Oh man, this is a lot of toss-ups. I'm looking at it right now, and I think I would go Alfred Morris and Dan Heron. I'm not crazy about any of them, Jason. I know you're extremely high on LeGarrette Blount. You're maybe a little more fearless than I am. I'm not betting any of my money on this New England running back situation. This is the, you know, opportune time for Bill Belichick to just hit everyone with a curveball. Everyone thinks LeGarrette Blount's the guy, and Jonas Gray or some other unnamed running back on the practice squad comes out this week and has a monster day. I'm scared to death of all these New England running backs. I'm not going to mess with them, but I like Alfred Morris and Joik Bell, probably the best on this list.
You know, I got to be honest with you. I know the concerns that you got to have with a Bill Belichick running back. You know, I understand. I really do. But we're looking at a guy who is getting the carries. Blunt had 20 carries this past the past week. Didn't get the kind of action I believed he should have against Green Bay. I really think they should have attempted to run the football, but he still easily had the most carries on the team in that week. Blunt has been productive. We saw him used heavily last year towards the end of the season. They relied on this guy. New England over the past couple of years has really enjoyed using that power run game. I like LeGarrette Blount. I'm huge on him this week against San Diego. San Diego was this past week. Miami, who has really gotten chewed up against the run, and especially against bigger guys. Even last week against Justin Forsett had a solid week. We saw C.J. Anderson run all over these guys. I think LeGarrette Blount gets really involved. And other than that, I think it's tough. I like Dan Heron. I think he's proven that he's the guy. You saw in that 4th-and-1 play near the goal line, they went to Dan Heron. I think that says a lot about how head coach Chuck Pagano feels about him. Honestly, I'm gonna go with Joik Bell in this situation. I think, you know, he's ran the football well as of late. He's got a matchup against Minnesota, who has really struggled against the run. I like Joik Bell in this situation after LeGarrette Blount, Wade.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, they're all solid plays, and they all have the potential to have huge weeks. It's just each one of them kind of has one thing about them that makes you kind of go, about this guy because of this. And so it's a really tough question to answer. It's pick your poison here.
It really is. It really is. And
I don't think there's a wrong answer.
I don't think any of those guys are really in a tough situation. I like Alfred Morris more, not necessarily in that top two of what you provided, but I like him a lot more if RG3 ends up starting over Colt McCoy, who's dealing with a bum neck right now. If RG3 ends up...
Well, I like him if he just has a stable quarterback situation. If there's a quarterback that can pose a threat, then yeah, he's going to be productive. But like we saw last week when McCoy's struggling, gets hurt.
Obviously. It's
not pretty.
I like Alfred Morris more whenever you have at least the threat of a read option. I think that's
exactly
when he's really turns into a top 15 running back. I'll keep it there. He hasn't really had the production over the last couple of years as we saw in his rookie year. But, Wade, I want to talk to you. Obviously, you are our excellent daily fantasy analyst for WeDoFantasy.com and WeDoFantasy Sports. I want to talk to you about maybe a lineup on FanDuel. Obviously, we know we got a lot of people that play on FanDuel. as well as I want to talk to you about a lineup that I made late last night on Fantasy Draft. So, I want to talk to you about that lineup you got working on FanDuel.
Yeah, I want to segue into this topic with this Twitter question that I just came across. It's from Brooklyn's Dada. In all caps, okay? You got to remember this question is in all caps, people, when I read this. Have you chosen your football FanDuel team yet? ? I need a couple extra of... I need a couple of expert picks! ! First of all, Brooklyn's Dada, I don't know where all this aggression's coming from. I don't know if
Brooklyn's Dada coming out hot.
Wrong direction with a player. Yeah, he's coming in real hot. I don't know if it's urgent, like you got to submit your lineup like now. But we'll get to it, Brooklyn's Dada. Okay, just next time, just tone down the aggression a little bit. But yeah, for FanDuel this week, I've got a lineup that I really like. I'm scared to read it off to you, Jason, because we just had a huge argument about this guy. I mean, I got more worked up over this guy than I have this argument than I've gotten more worked up in a long time. The argument was for our listeners, Jason and a couple other people said that Matt Ryan could step into the quarterback position in Dallas, and they would have the same record. I'm a huge Tony Romo guy, and it lit a fire in me when I heard it. And then here I am, Matt Ryan's my quarterback.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I did.
That is unbelievable.
I almost changed it just because I knew we were going to talk about it. But bear with me here. I saw something when I was looking at the numbers that I couldn't resist with Matt Ryan. Atlanta, they're going up against Pittsburgh. In the last 2 weeks, Pittsburgh has just been getting torched through the air. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe they against Cincinnati last week, A.J. Green had a huge day, and then the week before, Kenny Stills had a huge day, giving up five touchdown passes in the last 2 weeks. I like Matt Ryan a lot. Pittsburgh's allowed the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks in the last 3 weeks. They're playing in the Georgia Dome. I'm big on Matt Ryan this week, despite how I feel about Matt Ryan and our particular argument.
I'll tell you why I'm not big on Matt Ryan. And once I update my position rankings,
conditional if Julio Jones is a go.
It looks like he's out. It looks like he's going to be out, folks. I know it hurts, especially when you're in a week where, you know, if you're in season-long fantasy and you just happen to be squeaking into the second round of the playoffs and you need this win to get into the championship round, you're going to be without Julio Jones. And it's going to hurt. It's going to sting. we passed that up on the injury report, don't know how. But Julio Jones, it looks like this guy's going to be out. It's a huge blow, especially when this guy's coming off 48 catches and 532 yards in Week 14 against the Packers. He was just insane last week. 10-plus catches, 259 yards and a TD, whatever it was. But, you know, it's tough. It's going to be tough without him. I think Roddy White has a huge week.
I've got Matt Ryan stacked with Roddy White.
I think that is a beautiful stack job. You know, even if the Falcons don't fare too well in this one, you know, I think, you know, Pittsburgh offense, it's explosive right now. And they're going to have to throw the football to keep up. You know, Atlanta's run game has been a mess, even though Steven Jackson has been somewhat productive as of late. But I think it could be a big day with Matt Ryan. I think it could be the same kind of situation where they're, as we saw last week, where they're really trying to have to throw this football to keep up. And Matt Ryan has, whether it be garbage time numbers or, you know, in-game numbers trying to keep up with Big Ben, Le'Veon, and Antonio. I see Roddy White doing well and Matt Ryan doing well as well. Also, who else you got on that lineup?
Yeah. My running backs. I'm going for balance with this one. I toyed with a few lineups. I tried to get there's a lot of just beautiful matchups with the running backs this week. Obviously, the big one is Le'Veon Bell against Atlanta. They've been getting torn apart on the ground as well as through the air. It doesn't matter what an offense tries to do. It seems like whatever they do, it works. You know, you've got Jamal Charles going up against Oakland, Matt Forte against New Orleans. The list goes on and on. And so I toyed with some lineups trying to get Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Charles in there at the same time. But I don't like the matchups with those third-tier receivers this week. So I'm going for more balance. My running backs, I've got Justin Forsett against Jacksonville and Mark Ingram against Chicago. Obviously, both of those defenses rank in the bottom half of the league. I expect Baltimore to be ahead in this game. Jacksonville is going to be forced to rely on Blake Bortles with Baltimore's league best run defense. So I think Jacksonville will have a tough time keeping Baltimore off the field. So I believe Justin Forsett will get plenty of carries. And then you've got Mark Ingram against Chicago. You're playing in Chicago. It's December. I think New Orleans goes back to Mark Ingram this week after struggling last week.
I agree. I like that pick. You talked about Le'Veon Bell, and I just got to discuss this guy a little bit. This is his last 3 weeks in fantasy, Wade, and this is standard scoring. Week 11, Tennessee, 27 points. We all know he rushed for over 200 yards and a TD on that one. And it just gets better against New Orleans. Another 95 yards and a TD. He had 159 yards through the air. 30 points in this one. And then last week against Cincinnati, one of the performances of the year. 41 points in standard scoring setting. It's just ridiculous. This guy's hot. He's worth the money. It's ridiculous. I love your picks. I want to get your advice on a team that I made in fantasy draft. And let me talk to you guys about fantasy draft briefly, okay? I can't tell you guys enough about fantasy draft. Personally, I think it's the hottest thing in daily fantasy sports right now. It's a lot of fun. You have a chance to win a lot of money. But it's run by a good group of people. Fantasy draft, you know, had a big weekend this past week. Experienced some technical difficulties, you know, which is going to happen with any brand new company. You know, this is brand new technology with, you know, you need top-notch developers and high-level coding to build a daily fantasy site. It's incredible what you need to develop these things. And they had some technical difficulties, but these guys were on it. They emailed their players, members immediately. I know I had a couple emails with an apology saying they're going to fix this problem, never going to happen again. And anybody that played, not just in their big tournament, not only if you emailed them and contacted them, these guys were going to take care of it and make sure you had a complete refund. If you did win, you were going to get your money. And if you lost, you were going to be completely refunded. And I can't tell you how proud I am to represent a company like that. That's the type of people you're dealing with. I know that there are these big guys out there, these bigger companies that sometimes we discuss ourselves just because a lot of you guys play on them. But they're not going to be as willing as a company like Fantasy Draft to make sure they're taking care of their customers and their members, because that's obviously what is their number one priority, Wade.
Yeah, I was really appreciative of it as well. I mean, this was their opening weekend. They're still trying to they're not established like these bigger fantasy websites. They don't have the money. They haven't stacked that money up, you know, because they haven't been around as long. This was their opening weekend. And so to come out and do something like that, I thought was awesome. And it was close to me because, you know, there was another fantasy website that had a similar hiccup, and they were very, very stingy about it. You had to email them by a certain time on Sunday.
And the thing is, with that situation, I'm not the type of guy that's just going to come out here and start bashing people, but I will explain the situation. It made it to where you couldn't edit your roster before the game times. Normally an hour before the game start at noon, I'm here in Houston and they start at noon here, I'm doing my last second, you know, adjustments, tinkering, whatever, and you were unable to do so. And if you didn't contact these guys within a certain period of time, they weren't going to help you out by refunding you a portion of your money, nothing. I mean, just incredible. And this was just a situation where the live scoring wasn't coming in as quickly as we'd like it to. And these guys were just on it. Fantasy Draft, that's the kind of company that we're dealing with and we're representing. I couldn't be more proud. And, you know, a little problem's going to happen. But when you take care of it like that and you're there for your customer, I can't say enough about it. I'm excited to play again with Fantasy Draft this weekend. And I made a lineup, Wade, and I want to discuss it with you and get your thoughts. I am going with the Big Ben, Antonio Brown combination in this situation. I love the matchup. It's playing in a dome that bodes well for all offenses involved. It's against Atlanta, which bodes well for all offenses involved. Ben Roethlisberger is playing well. I like Antonio Brown. I'm just going to go down the list, and I want you to tell me what stands out to you. Ben Roethlisberger, LeGarrette Blount, Isaiah Crowell, Jordan Matthews, Antonio Brown, Dwayne Allen, Roddy White, Randy Bullock, and Buccaneers defense. I went cheap at defense this week.
Yeah, the big one for me, and we talked about it a little bit earlier, LeGarrette Blount, I just he scares the hell out of me. I'm not going to bet my money on him personally. There are some other enticing running backs kind of in the same price range. Danny Heron for Indianapolis, I could see being just as productive. Fred Jackson in PPR format had a huge week last week, 10 receptions. So that kind of eliminates the concern of Buffalo getting blown out. You know, oh, Fred Jackson's not going to get the touches anymore. That, if anything, that played in Fred Jackson's favor. He just obviously, I wouldn't be surprised if LeGarrette Blount punches in 2 or 3 TDs. I wouldn't be surprised if LeGarrette Blount got 2 or 3 carries.
We discussed the concerns about LeGarrette Blount, and I can understand that. He's reasonably priced, but I can go down the list, and you know, every time I'm putting together a lineup, guys, I'm not trying to get lucky. And a lot of times you see the guy that strikes big, he got a little lucky, but I just refuse to do that. I'm going to put thought into this thing and try to give my team the best chance to succeed. And a couple things I want you guys to hear and see how our experts and analysts are thinking about this. And you know, Buccaneers, Cam Newton goes down. It's going to be on Derek Anderson. He played well in week one against Tampa Bay for the most part, but still it's a backup quarterback and a team that with offensive line struggles. Without Cam Newton, I think this run game is going to struggle. Defense obviously been struggling. I think Buccaneers could really take advantage of that situation. Randy Bullock, a guy playing for the Houston Texans. I like a cheap kicker that is playing indoors. A lot of time in this time of year, there's going to be a lot of people playing outside in cold weather, in windy weather, in frigid weather. I mean, a lot of situations where it's not friendly to kickers. So I like a guy like Randy Bullock. He's got a big leg. He's got a chance to get you that 50-yarder. He's playing indoors in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. you know, and then we discussed Roddy White, hoping for a big game out of Dwayne Allen. Coming back, you know, a couple thoughts on different scenarios on what goes into picking these guys, Wade.
I'm not sure if I understand.
You know,
the question.
I'm just saying, like, with a kicker, I like to know where a kicker is going to be playing. You know, I prefer to go cheap at kicker. I prefer to go cheap at defense. And you just got to find a situation that, you know, these websites aren't really taking into consideration.
Yeah, I definitely prefer to go cheaper on kicker if I'm trying to if I'm struggling with money and I'm trying to squeeze a couple of guys in there. And if I have to go cheap at kicker, obviously I'll go cheap at kicker before I take a guy out of my lineup that I really like. Defense, on the other hand, I'm not huge on going cheap on. I think the matchup's got to be there, and obviously the best matchup at the best price is who I'm gonna go with, unless I have some extra money laying around, and then I'll go after just my favorite matchup. Period. But these are definitely two positions, more so kicker, but you know. Defense and kicker probably need to be kind of in the latter stages of your lineup picking, unless there's just one really great defensive matchup that stands out to you and you want to have that for sure. On your squad.
my goodness, we are running a little late today. That will do it for today's show. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the We Do Fantasy podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to share and subscribe on iTunes. We will have a link available for Fantasy Draft if you'd like to get involved. It's a lot of fun, guys. They have a great scoring system. They have a great money system and, you know, cap system. So be sure to check it out. It's a lot of fun. We will have a link available in the description. Thanks for listening, as always. This podcast is brought to you by Fantasy Draft. Do you think you're good at fantasy sports? Ever wanted to make real money each day by doing what you love in your spare time? Fantasy Draft is now the hottest thing in daily fantasy sports, the only daily fantasy sports website that offers 6 degrees of payment for your referrals. Win money today. Daily fantasy sports for real cash, no season-long commitment, 6 degrees of pay commissions, fantasydraft.com. What are you waiting for? A link will be available in the description of this podcast.